Our first review of the day is going to be for the Ethan Coen film Drive Away Dolls. Oh, it's wrong one. wrong one. So Drive Away Dolls is the newest film directed by Ethan Coen sans the brother Joel. So this movie follows Margaret Qualley and, excuse me, I hope I'm saying this right, Geraldine Viswanathan. Yes, I hope I'm saying that right.
That was and pretty close.
That was fairly close. So this follows two lesbians who have kind of at this odd place in their life. So they decide to take a road trip through a program called a drive away. So you basically pick up a car at a spot, you pay a fee, you drop it off at a certain place, and they're going to Tallahassee, Florida. But unbeknownst to them, inside this car is this mysterious briefcase that contains this movie's MacGuffin that is running afoul of these would-be criminals, gangsters that they end up pissing off and end up having to track them down all the way down to Florida. And there is a whole mystery and conspiracy surrounding this this little briefcase. But Dusk, what were some of your impressions of this movie?
Much like Madam Web, this is a porn parody version of other famous movies that came beforehand. Sans also, unfortunately, the plot.
I wouldn't know about porn parody, because while Madam Web, I think, is legitimately one of the worst, most incomprehensible, incoherent movies where you can feel the lack of effort from everybody involved from in front of and behind the camera. But with this, I feel like there's enough gems of a good idea in this script and with some of the directing choices that Ethan Coen makes, along with the performances of Margaret Qualley and Geraldine Viswanathan, that it kept me engaged with it. And this movie, I think it's probably closest in tone to other Coen brothers movies like Fargo, like The Lady Killers, like Burn After Reading, where the charm of it is in kind of this air of importance, but also incompetence with our main cast and our criminal characters, that it ends up being entertaining for me.
I guess for me, this felt like, I can see a lot of elements of the Ethan Coen element, but the longer I watched this movie, I couldn't help but compare it. Just first for the foremost, for any of the different interviews, they've been very much both, Ethan and his wife have been pointing out very avidly that this is not a like previous works that they've done. This is going to be in a very different direction. They've even called it trashy multiple times. It's a very kind of trashy movie and vibe. And boy, howdy, do they really go in that direction? Because I'm going to be honest, while I was watching this movie, when I mentioned porn parody, sans the plot, this really did feel like a porn parody, lesbian porn parody version of like a movie like Pulp Fiction, but more comedy sans it. It felt like I was watching a vintage noir story, but with Looney Tunes characters in the background. And that's going to throw off a lot of people.
Yeah, with me, with a lot of Coen Brothers movies, especially the ones that lean more towards comedy, I find myself... It takes a while for me to get really invested in them. And I posted a fresh out of the theater reaction on TikTok last night. And one of the things I mentioned in it is that the movie takes so much time and the characters are so exaggerated that it took a while for me to feel connected with them. I didn't really feel like these characters were actual people, especially Qualey and Viswanathan, up until their dynamic shifts and changes towards the end of the movie, towards the third act.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Even when it all the way through, it just didn't grab me. The story just, it felt too loose. It felt like the story was both very simplistic and the MacGuffin so underutilized, it almost underpinned other stories they had done before. And this felt almost more of a, and I did a little more research after I saw the movie, and this one definitely felt more of Ethan Coen's wife, Tracy. She did this one. This was a lot based on her life in the 1990s, growing up in New York, going to, as she's come out and said that she herself has come out as a lesbian and that this kind of talks about her early youth, and you can actually more feel it. This felt more like another person's story, but Ethan happens to direct and work with it, as they so often have. Mm-hmm. They've done so with No Country for Old Men. They've done so in other works. So it's not a surprise there. But this one definitely, it didn't hit that balance I was really hoping for. I mean, off the bat, the mechanics of the plot just simply aren't there. The two characters just really don't feel like they would be friends. I like Coleman Domingo, but he kind of just growls as like a crime boss, but he doesn't really have a character. And what even are the stakes of the scandal that things that might happen and things that are later?
There are things that we can say about the stakes of it, but that would give away a very important plot detail involving probably one of the more high profile actors that show up in this movie. And I kind of like what you said about balance, because where a movie like Burn After Reading, which is one of the Coen brothers movies that I always go back to, that movie balanced that dark comedy with that kind of that satire and absurdity that I think this movie really struggles with. And I even wonder how much would this movie have improved, at least structurally, if it were a Coen brothers proper, if it were both Joel and Ethan.
I think Joel brings, you can definitely tell the difference, because while this is, Ethan's and his wife's contribution and their singular vision on this, at least in comparison, Joel and his wife, who did a fantastic job as Macbeth, did the tragedy of Macbeth.
Oh, the excellent Shakespeare adaptation.
Right. And so you can just see a veering of directions of what they both wanted to kind of do. I think Joel really adds a heftness and a bit of a grounding, where it goes, okay, we can be comedy and dark comedy. I'm all for that, because I also have it in my stuff. But we need to have a grounding. We need a lightning rod to kind of contain some of the zaniness that we put in here, like Raising Arizona, or even just some of their earlier movies, like Blood Simple. Even though it's a noir and dark movie, there are some very subtle, humorous moments in it.
Yeah, and with that zaniness, because this movie does get very silly. Like, one of my, I think, I feel like I like this movie a little bit more than you did. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons is because the movie wasn't really afraid to get as crazy and as zany as it is. And one of my favorite moments is with the supporting cast, with Beanie Feldstein and these two kind of incompetent thugs.
Yeah.
Since when do women curse like that?
You know Jamie Dobbs? You know Jamie Dobbs?
Should have known it was about that.
And Mary Pahlavi? You shouldn't do that. He can't fight back. He can't hit a girl. He's old school. We just want to locate your friends. They inadvertently took something that belongs to us. We don't want to hurt them.
They're not like friends. Hurt them as much as you want.
Yeah.
And moments like that got a big laugh out of me. But even now, thinking about it, I was like, okay, but because with comedy, we say this all the time, is that the two most subjective genres are comedy and horror. It's like what makes me laugh might not make somebody else laugh. What scares you might not scare me. And all you can really say when you're reviewing a comedy is, how well did it work for you? And for me, it very well did. To get to my final thoughts, I thought this movie was a very fun time. It was very light, very breezy. It's only an hour and 20 some minutes that it ended up just flying by for me. And I felt entertained by it. I love the performances from Margaret Qualley and from Geraldine Viswanathan. I liked the supporting cast with Beanie Feldstein and Coleman Domingo. I liked the I liked that this movie kind of subverted expectations, because the whole plot point is these are two lesbian characters going on a road trip in the South to Tallahassee, Florida. And we all know how much they love the LGBTQ there.
Oh yeah. Big fans.
Yes. Just the biggest, but it doesn't really lean into what you would expect with a setting like this. And that ended up feeling refreshing to me. So, but would I watch this again? I feel like with the Coen brothers, I feel like with their movies, I end up appreciating them more on rewatch. But would I recommend somebody rush out to a theater and see this? Probably not. I would say that this is on the lower end of a stream it. I had a good time with it, but it took so long for me to get invested in characters that I can't recommend it beyond streaming.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I didn't like this quite as much as you did, but I try to appreciate the small details and the elements. I did feel some of the editing was a little off on some points, which is rare to see in a Coen Brothers movie. They're usually masters of crafts on that. I don't know. I really don't know where the vision for Ethan Coen and his wife, where it was similar, they were together on this, or if it was a separate story and an interpretation, because those do take vastly different works on that. And then what they said is it is unfortunately trashy, but not in the best way.
Because there's a way to do trashy cinema. And there are guys who really specialize with it. Guys like a Christopher Landon a little bit.
Or John Waters.
Or
Russ Meyers, who was a beat, and Roger Corman, who were B movie kings.
Yeah, and all of that comes from sincerity in what you're trying to make. Even a movie like The Room, which is on any objective scale, not a good movie.
Yeah.
But will I watch it every time I see it available? Hell yes, I will.
The movie has a lot of elements of trashiness that John Waters does, but it doesn't have the earnesty that John Waters... Never looked down on the people, the movie he was making. He did seem to have a love. And I've actually been fortunate enough to meet him in person. He's a very, very nice, wonderful guy, despite what he is. Like, funny that he makes, and he likes pushing the envelope. And this movie is too expensive to be like a Russ Meyers or a Roger Corman joint. So it kind of falls in this weird middle where it doesn't quite find the balance it really quite should. Did I hate it? No, I didn't quite hate it at all. But I can't really give it anything better than a low stream it. It's not quite a skip it. It bordered on it on occasions. But some elements worked enough that I couldn't justify putting it into the skip it category completely.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, for me, with worse actors or with fewer laugh out loud funny moments, which I felt like you had in here, this would have been a skip it.
Yeah. I think it'll be on the lower totem pole of the Coen Brothers echelon. And this really is even with the low streaming I give it, if you're going to know right away whether or not this is your bag or not. And this might be a skip it for you. But I think for genuinely most people, or at least for people who are Coen Brothers fans, this is going to be kind of a hard one to kind of deal with. But I don't know, if you check it out on streaming, watch it. And if you like the beginning, you're probably going to like the rest of it. Just know that it starts off pretty slow and it doesn't really kick. It doesn't really even have... Oh man, it doesn't really even have an end, really, if I'm being honest. You're just going on like one of those Euro trips, those movies. It's just a trip movie.
It felt like it was it wanted to be this very kind of slice of life, kind of fun road trip movie. But the road trip movies that I like still end up having like a through line that I can follow narratively, even as, you know, wacky and as zany as those get, how a lot of movies like that end up just delving into just nonsensical non sequiturs. They still have a through line and an end goal.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie didn't quite have any of that really. And when it really comes to the end of it, you kind of just go that's it. And that, I mean, all the yucks aside,
it did end on I think a line that got a really hard laugh out of me.
So yeah, with all that considered, it really just does land on a low stream it, bordering on a skip it. But for the actors alone, the setup, the occasional laughter, I think it saves it into that stream it territory. And I think that's a good place to kind of put it. It's definitely not one of their best works, but it is a unique work. And if you want to check it out, I recommend you check it out on streaming. There's no reason to see it. This in the theater.
I would say like the worst Coen Brothers movie, it'd probably be something like The Lady Killers or something like Suburbicon, which I think they just wrote. I don't know if they directed that.
No, they wrote that one.
Oh, okay.
Lady Killers, they were more involved in.
That movie I'm not crazy about.
I can understand that. That one's very cartoony.
Yeah, but that was our review for for Drive Away Dolls. To stream it from both myself and Dusk. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think of it? Let us know down in comments below.
Please when do. We
eventually post this to the YouTubes.